I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming.
Up in this place, and I'm finally at the front of this race, and I ain't going back. I'ma rip this track.
Oh, I'm coming home.
We be the infamous. You heard of us? Official
review.
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 What's up, gang? Welcome back to the Upon Official Review podcast. It has been a minute. Obviously not a minute, but you guys know what I'm saying. It's been a while since we've...
15 minutes.
Yeah.
At least.
At least 15 minutes.
Since we did a podcast.
Exactly, exactly. And I know you guys missed us, and we missed you too. We missed talking to each other about sports. We do it anyway.
We haven't
recorded.
Oh.
So, yeah, if you guys haven't heard of this, it's your first listen. My name is Ari, also known as Magnum, and by my virtual side is my homeboy, Al, a.k.a. Murdoch. Say what's up, Murdoch.
What's up, people? How's it going?
So, Murdoch, man, we got a whole lot to talk about. We're not going
to
have a six-hour show. I'm sure we could if we wanted to, but I know your attention spans are much shorter than that. So,
dude, what are you talking about? People would listen to us for 168 straight hours all week with no breaks for food, sleep, or showers.
You know what? You're probably
easily.
Right.
Easily.
You're probably right. Maybe we should
just. They think they went to heaven. They'd be like, this is the greatest thing I've ever done.
That's true. They would replace all other forms of entertainment with just listening to us.
All other forms of life with just listening to us.
Your husband or your wife comes home and they're like, what have you been doing all day?
Shush, shush. You missed it. Boy, 84 straight hour. This is really, really good stuff.
I haven't slept.
Very, very important.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
Bring me a sandwich.
Yeah. At once.
Exactly. Ah, oh, man, it's good to be back. It's good to be back. Talking smack. So, without any kind of delay, we got some other cool things to talk about and cool things to announce later too. But without any delay, any further hold up, let's talk birds, sir. Let's talk the Eagles, the birds.
Three and three. Six. Yeah,
we are back where we belong at the top of the division.
Yeah.
Somehow
for first place with a better division.
Better division.
No, we're both 2-0 in the division. I'm sorry, because the Cowboys beat the Redskins last
That's
night.
Right. So. That's right. They did.
All three were losses, and Dallas's came in the AFC. So actually, their records are very similar to the same three teams, I believe. Also, we both lost to San Diego, Kansas City, and Denver. Right? Or did Dallas not lose to San Diego?
Did he not lose? Who was their other loss to?
Yeah,
that's a great question.
Quick, it was somebody that they shouldn't have lost to. I feel, but all right, I will.
Yeah, very likely. San Diego started hot, so it might have been them.
Might have been them. Maybe it was Oakland or something. Let's see. Lost to Kansas. Lost to San Diego. Lost to Denver. Yes, same exact as us.
Wow, interesting. Very interesting. That says a lot.
They beat New York the first week. We beat Washington the first week. They beat Washington just recently. We beat New York just recently.
So no, you know what? That's
we
funny.
Played very similar teams, except they beat St. Louis and we beat Tampa Bay. It's the only difference so far.
Neither of us have had a really impressive win. I mean, the teams we won, we were supposed to win.
No, they had a really impressive loss, though, against Denver, obviously.
They did.
That's like a win against anyone else in the league.
Yeah, they call it a moral victory.
Yeah, and that and normally I'm not all about that, but in that case, you know, that was pretty awesome. And they would have beaten any other team in the league with that performance.
Probably.
So,
very.
I think no question about it. Denver, to me, is clearly the best team in football. And anyone that says different is just a hater, obviously, or a fan of, you know.
Yeah, no, they
the
definitely are.
Or whoever, you know.
They definitely are. We're 6 weeks into Chip Kelly's tenure, his professional
the regime.
Exactly. What do we think so far? Are there surprises? Are there things you still want to see? Things that you definitely we haven't seen? What kind of stands out to you in the first 6 weeks?
Well, the first 6 weeks, to me, you know, I you can tell right away that the head coach is smarter than the previous head coach, especially at thinking on his feet. We're not getting blowing through timeouts left and right like we used to. We actually, a lot of times at the end of the half, have three timeouts left, which is just weird, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Now, has he made mistakes? Absolutely. You know, at that San Diego game, at the end of that, when they were hurrying up before the two-minute warning to get another playoff, was ridiculous. Clearly, that was a mistake. I was screaming at the time, you know, no, 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 don't run a play. Let it run down. Let it run down. Burn as much clock as you can. So he
yeah, especially when your secondary is getting shredded.
I didn't think he would make those kinds of mistakes going into it. So I was a little disappointed, but I believe that he's going to learn from his mistakes, unlike, you know, the previous
regime. Yes. Yes.
Where they would just continue to do the same stupid things over and over and over and over and over. I believe that he's going to, okay, that was wrong. Next time he's going to do it better, I believe. And, you know, that's okay, you know, because it's his first year on the job. Everybody, you know, you take a new job, you're going to go through a learning curve. I mean, everyone, you know, we kind of sometimes like to envision these coaches as these perfect machines that make these, you know, perfect decisions, or we wish they were. But, you know, they're people. They're human beings. There's a lot of information they have to process in a very short span of time, and it's hard to get to the exactly most optimum decision every time, especially when you're new at it. So, to me, he's definitely had a couple of, you know, kind of learning experiences like that where he didn't maybe necessarily do the right thing right away. But I think he's learning from his mistakes. And you, as you can see, everybody, the team's getting more comfortable with him. He's getting more comfortable with the team. And the product on the field is getting better every week, which, you know, that's what you want. That's what you want to have happen.
Yep.
So
yep.
So far, I'm pleased. And I love Chip Kelly, and I'm very happy, and I hope he's here for a long time. Even if we don't necessarily have great records for the first couple of years, I hope people are patient with him and give him time to get his own players and things.
Yes, like that. Yes, that's one of the biggest sort of things we notice is he's playing with mostly, well, all except for one year of drafted players and 1 year of free agent pickups.
Right.
It's all Andy Reid's team.
Right.
So.
If there's anything we know about Reed is he sucked at picking players.
He was terrible at drafting.
And Kansas City's not letting him do that, and they're going to definitely reap the benefits of that.
Yeah, he had a few kind of diamonds in the rough, you know, the Trent Coles.
Right, but he was always going to – always going for that. He would always pick fourth-round grades in the second round.
We were talking about that.
Jerry, he'd always try to pretend like he's the smartest one in the room. And if he had just picked – what ESPN said and the consensus pick
exactly.
should have made, he would have a really good team right now.
Just go to Mel Kiper's page.
Yeah, that's it. All he would have to do. Seriously. And instead, he had to try to outsmart everyone. You know, whatever. We don't have to worry about him anymore. But it's nice to see something different, just even for the sake of being different. I love Chip Kelly personally. I think all the different things he uses to try to get an edge is smart. Use science, use math. You know, these things, as much as people who might not necessarily be numbers people like to kind of poo-poo them, oh, you know, it doesn't work. You know, it does work. You know, percentages work.
Yep.
You know, if something is going to work 80% of the time, guess what? It's going to work 80% of the time. You know, it's just that simple. And if you play the percentages in the long run, not in the short run, but in the long run, you will benefit your team.
And here's the thing.
I like this kind of stuff.
I think a lot of coaches are afraid of the media. You know, they're afraid of getting that second guess after the game.
Absolutely. Well, you think about this, right? If they go for it on fourth and one and they don't pick it up, whose fault is it? It's the coach.
It's the coach,
if
right.
If they punt, whose fault is it? It's the players. They usually don't get blamed. Now, lately, the media is getting more and more savvy, and they are blaming coaches that aren't going for fourth and one. You know, especially on the goal line. You should almost always, especially in the first half on the goal line, fourth and goal from the one, every time. That is an automatic go for it. Because even if you don't get it, you're probably getting a field goal based on the fact that the other team is going to punt it to you at the 50 anyway. You're going to get it in the other team's territory after the next drive. You know, how many drives from your own one actually result in anything but a three and out?
Let's talk about that real quick.
So
So you get a field percentage, because I think the one sort of obvious error that can might be able to be rectified quickly is the kick return punt return game. I've seen enough of Demaris Johnson. I'm done with him.
Agreed. Although I do think honestly he's been the kick special teams been better this year than it was last couple years.
I agree. Special teams is overall
it's
okay.
Still not great.
It's not great. But no. He makes consistently bad good. Decisions.
Yeah.
He makes bad decisions on when to fair catch. He makes bad decisions on when to take the ball out of the end zone.
You know what? I'm not going to kill him for that, because if you look around the league, I watch the Red Zone channel a lot.
Yeah.
Every team, and I know what it is. The player is the kick returner gets to touch the ball like four times in a game.
Right.
And where are they making their money from? Touchdown.
Right.
So they take it out every time, even though they're hurting their team. There's like better chance of getting on a Sports Center and getting a bigger check next time in their contract.
I get it, but when's the last time he brought something back past?
No,
the
he hasn't. But I'm telling you, every team does that, and they take it out and get tackled at 10. It happens every Sunday, all Sunday long. So I can't, you know, it's sort of like in his best interest to do that, even if it's not in the team's best interest.
I get it. I need to see somebody
chances
else
he has. I agree. Enough of him. I totally agree with that.
I'm done with him. We haven't had like somebody good doing that since Westbrook, early Westbrook. Deshaun. His early. Talk about kickoffs too.
Yeah.
Westbrook did kickoffs too. Yeah. Early on in his career, anyway. So yeah, that's one thing I would like to change. Did we know the defense was going to be this bad?
I mean, if you look at the 10 games last year after they fired. The offensive line coach, what was his name? Juan Castillo.
Juan Castillo, yeah.
And put Ty Bowles in. Uh-huh. Their average passer rating against the Eagles defense last year was over 140.
Yikes.
Now, let me put that into context.
Average.
Let me put that into context for you. The greatest passer rating season in the history of the NFL was Aaron Rodgers, 2009. He had a 122. Second best was Peyton Manning, 04. He had like a 121. Everything else has been in the 110s. They turned every single average quarterback they face into Peyton Manning multiplied by Aaron Rodgers. That is actually what happened over the last 10 games last year.
Wow.
So did I think they were going to be this bad? Yeah.
I
did. Yeah. Switching to a new scheme and everything else. Yeah. I'm not the least bit surprised.
They are 31st in opposing passing yards, and that's
I mean, that's not surprising. That's really not surprising.
And then third down is just, man, third down just gives you a heart attack every time. It can be third and 20, third and 15,
absolutely.
Third and 9.
Speaking of third and 20, really quick, did you see that Breeze pass for the touchdown on third and 20?
I was did.
Like 40 yards. Oh,
I did. That was very,
awesome.
Very beautiful. To the rookie, right? I forget what his name is.
Yeah, I forget what his name is too. But yeah, some kid.
Yeah, that was
awesome.
Very, very pretty, yeah.
But yeah, Eagles defense, terrible. You know what, honestly, if you think about in the best interest of the Eagles long term, and I know fans don't ever want to hear this, but the best case scenario this year really is the offense is great, the defense stinks, we lose a bunch of games, we get a good draft pick. And you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Okay, yeah, could we go 8-8 and win the division? Yeah, but what is that really going to get us?
What does that do, precisely?
It's not seeing us a Super Bowl, which is the only thing I care about. You know, division titles over at the worst division ever, like, who cares?
Yeah,
who cares?
We've won lots of division titles.
It's not like I'm sitting there rooting for them to lose, but I know in my head that it's actually best long-term for them to lose.
Right.
So it's sort of like on Sundays, I'm watching, I'm looking for improvement. I don't care that much about the final score. You know, with one caveat, I think it's insane that they're starting Mike Vick because he's not the long-term answer. If anyone thinks that, I think they're like related to him. They must be. He's 33, 34 years old. He's not going to ever be a top-flight quarterback. He could be good at his best. He could be pretty good, very good, borderline of right there. But he's never going to be, you know, Peyton or Tom or Drew or any of these top-flight or Aaron Rodgers or Andrew Luck. Robert Griffin when he's on or even the kid from Seattle. He's not going to be one of those.
Mm-hmm.
He's too injury prone. He's too risky. He makes, you know, he holds on to the ball. Yeah, whatever. He's
lots of flaws in his game. Yes, he does. Yeah. I'm actually with you on that. I've had this internal debate with myself.
Okay.
Because I'm with you. I'm a Vic supporter and I think that
I'm not a hater. Yeah.
I think it gives you the best chance to kind of have
now, sure.
Now, exactly. Have an 8-8, 9-7 year Yes. Right.
I agree. Is he better than Nick Foles right now? If I had to, you know, you don't know for sure, but I would say probably yes.
Gun to your head, who's going to win more games this season? Probably Vic. If you set up two alternate dimensions where they were each starting, yes. Mike Vick probably wins more games. However,
one or two more is what I would guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not a huge disparity there, not honestly. A huge disparity. But you're right. Long term, what is kind of the point of that? Because would you rather give Foles the reps and have him go in there next year as somebody who's seasoned and somebody who really knows how to run the offense?
Yes.
Because do you really see them bringing Vick back another year? I just don't see it.
I mean, even if they did, there's no Super Bowls to be won, I don't think, with Vic. I don't believe so. You'd have to have a great at every other position. Yes, in that case, it doesn't really matter who your quarterback is. If you're saying Vic's good enough to win the Super Bowl, then you could just put any quarterback unless he's terrible.
Yeah. You've got an awesome
average quarterback. I think Vic is an average NFL quarterback, about the 15th best in the league.
I agree.
Right in the middle of the road. So if you're going to be saying he can win a Super Bowl, then you're saying it doesn't really matter who the quarterback is as long as he's average.
Right.
So, but here's the thing, even beyond that, is you need to get information about Foles.
Right.
Is he the guy? Because here's the thing. Okay, you look at his rookie numbers last year, 1-5, 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, or 1-6 maybe in games. No, 1-5 I think he was last year. Mm-hmm. But if you look at his numbers, his quarterback rating, things like that, his numbers as a rookie, now people might misinterpret this, but his numbers as a rookie were better than Peyton Manning's as a rookie. Now, before anyone goes crazy, I am not saying he's better than Peyton Manning. I am not saying that.
Right.
Don't think he could be ever better than Peyton Manning. What I'm saying is that very good quarterbacks, great quarterbacks, aren't necessarily great as a rookie. They get a lot better after the rookie years. So is there a chance that Nick Foles could make that jump? Why not? Why is there not? Because he was a 3rd-round pick? So was Russell Wilson. Tom Brady was a 6th-round pick. What about – I mean, Tom Brady can't run. What about him says there's no way he could ever be a great quarterback? Nothing. So the point is, do I think that's likely to happen? Not necessarily, but we need to know. So, hey, do we need to go out and get a franchise quarterback next year? Or, wow, this guy showed a lot of promise. He made this huge leap in the second year. We've got our guy. You know, that is much more valuable to me than Vic winning 8 or 9 games and winning a division.
Exactly. Plus, he puts us in this position next year is there is a glut of
quarterbacks.
Talented quarterbacks coming out in this next draft. Exactly. Yep.
Trade up to get one of them.
Exactly. How do you know where you what you're looking for?
Year. Yeah, and if it's Vic, how do you know? What if we do trade 2 or 3 first-round picks a la Washington with St. Louis to get Robert Griffin III, and it turns out Foles is awesome? I mean, you look at him play yesterday against a good defense. Tampa Bay was winless. They averaged 12 points a game on offense. That is why they are winless. They actually have a really good defense.
Yes, the defense is very solid. The defense only gave up 23 points to the Saints.
Yeah, you can't just say, well, they're a bad team, therefore they must have a bad defense. No, that's retarded. What if they scored 0 points all year and they gave up 3 points per every single game? Does that make them a bad defense? No, that makes them the best defense ever.
I take that back. They only gave up 6. No, I'm looking at the wrong team here, Tampa Bay. Let's see here. Oh, no, that is Tampa Bay. 16 points to New Orleans and 23 against New England. So that defense is solid.
They're good. Yeah, even more than solid. They're good. So what he did yesterday was very impressive. Now that doesn't mean he's going to do that every week. I understand all that.
Right.
But the point is we need to know whether he's going to. That's why I think there's no point in starting Vic. Now, Kelly wants to win. I get that. I get it. I understand that too. But going forward, it's much more valuable to know whether or not Foles could be the guy, because we already know what Vic is. We know what Vic is.
We have
if you have a great team around him, sure, you could win a Super Bowl. You know, worst quarterbacks in him have won a Super Bowl. But we know exactly what he is. We know what he is when he's not playing well. We know what he is when he's playing well. He's playing well. He's a decent quarterback. Good quarterback. Not great. Good. Exactly. He is who we thought he was. You know, he can play very well. And I'm not a hater on Vic. And again, if you ask me who would win more games this year, I would probably tend to say Vic would. Not for sure, but the point is we need information about Foles that'll help us going forward much more than playing Vic, which
exactly.
won't give us any
exactly.
information.
You so. Find out if Foles is the guy. If he's not, you draft a QB.
I'm not saying I think Foles is awesome or he is the guy. I'm saying we need to know whether
he is. You know what? Here's what may happen. Chip Kelly may, like you said, he wants to win. He may draft a quarterback next year anyway.
Right.
All right. So I think Chip Kelly may draft a quarterback regardless and may trade up to get whoever he wants because I think he wants that speed component for his QB. I think he wants that option to be able to run.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe the guy from Oregon. Maybe
regardless of whether or not
whoever it is.
Big plays is not, you know, it's not something we need to consider because he's going to, you know, we have a good draft. We got the kid coming from Oregon.
Right.
The kid coming from Clemson. The kid from Florida State might come out.
As a freshman, the Florida State guy?
He might.
Okay.
You know, get that money early, man.
I forget. Johnny Football.
Exactly, Johnny Football. I said Taj Boyd, Teddy Bridgewater. And the kid from UCLA who I haven't even seen play yet. Everybody is really hyping him up.
Raving about him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, but even if that's the plan, if Foles plays and plays really, really well, you could get a great draft pick.
That's
him.
Also true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it still benefits us more than playing Vic, I think, in my opinion. So, you know. It is what it is. I won't be upset. I'm not going to, I can't believe they're playing Vic. You know, that's fine. You know, it is what it is. Either way, it doesn't matter that much. I actually think he runs the offense better. He's better in the red zone than Vic. Deshaun Jackson has – when's the last time Vic threw Deshaun Jackson a red zone touchdown? I don't think that ever happens.
Very rare.
He has two in a game and a half from Foles.
Yep.
So maybe it happened in 2010, 3 years ago. But again, there's other things Vic does better than him. But to me, it's almost a wash between the two. So why wouldn't you play Foles? I don't know.
I agree.
So anyway.
I do like what he's doing with the run game as well. LeSean McCoy is great.
Love our run.
The Eagles are number one in the league in rushing. You know, some of that's Vic. But LeSean McCoy is leading running backs in rushing.
Yeah, he's the top running back also.
Yeah, 105 yards a game he's averaging.
We will take that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, that's forward,
180 yards over the course of a year. I mean,
yes, it is
a nice chunky yardage.
Yes, it is
on the ground.
So that being said, let's wrap up this Eagles part. Let's take a short break. We'll come back. We'll do a legal procedure, and we'll go around the NFL a little bit more. So you guys, stay tuned and don't go nowheres. This is the Upon Official Review podcast.
Last word in Philly sports.
That's us. Stick around.
Gonna buy me a rainbow. Gonna wrap me up in a great big bow. The time is right, day, not night. Just open up your heart, it'll be alright.
Gonna buy me a rainbow.
Welcome back to the Upon Official Review podcast. It is your boy Magnum and your boy Murdoch. And it's time to get into the legal procedure because I've got something on my chest. And if I don't get it out, it's going to explode or something. So listen up.
Well, they called us for illegal procedure.
Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
I've been so wrong.
Don't explode. Right. No chest explosions. Pretty sure that's harmful to your health.
Yeah, that is definitely harmful to my health. So I'm going to tell you guys this week what's grinding my gears. What's in my craw, if you will.
Grinding your gears.
Exactly. I've had it up to here with people thinking that because someone's on your fantasy team that they need to perform that week because they're on your team. These people do not play for you. You do not pay these people's checks.
Nope.
You do not watch these people's children. They have no obligation to you whatsoever. And every week I see people on Twitter and Facebook or wherever else complaining, oh, Gronkowski needs to come back from injury because he's killing my fantasy team. Oh, Adrian Peterson didn't run for enough yards this week. Maurice Jones-Drew is killing my fantasy team. No points. I get it. I play fantasy, and it's frustrating. And it's really sort of zapping and sapping my energy for playing it at all because the whole thing is getting convoluted and too serious and unfun. That's just no way else to put it for me. I don't I'm enjoying fantasy less and less because I'm putting stakes in a game that I have no real control over. It's not like gambling where it's, you know, it's one or the other thing, but I have to watch these 11 variables, however many players on my fantasy team, try to perform every week and then hope they do. And if they don't, I'm sour about it. People are sour about it. But the people that really will directly message athletes on Twitter and tell them they need to perform better because of their $10, $15 that's on the line. Maybe it's more than that. I don't care. Stop that.
Yeah, I agree. And can I add something to this? Something else that no one cares about? No one cares about someone else's fantasy team at all, ever. There has never been a case where someone says, oh, this and this happened with my fantasy team, and someone else thought, wow, that's really interesting. Please tell me more. They think, I don't care. Shut up.
Unless they have the
same
players.
That's what other people think when you're talking about your own fantasy team players and what they did and how you lost on a last second. No one cares. Shut up. That's why I don't play fantasy, because I'd rather just watch football. I enjoy watching football.
I agree.
Not having to root for people that are on the Cowboys or the Giants. I get to root against them. I hate the Patriots. I don't have to root for, you know, Stephen Ridley to have 4 touchdowns, but them to somehow lose anyway. No, I don't. I root against the teams I don't like. I root for the teams I like. It's much easier. And it's much more enjoyable to me, anyway.
Yeah, dude, I'm with you, and I'll put it on record. I think this is probably my last year doing fantasy because I love football.
If somebody has to do that to enjoy watching the games, fine. But I love it. I don't need to gamble on the games. I don't need to play fantasy football. I will watch every pretty much NFL game you want to put my way, and I am down. I'm in.
I've done it, and I've won. I've even won money, but I think it just takes some way, my enjoyment away. Yeah, and if I want to experience fantasy football, I will watch the league, and we'll
exactly.
leave it at that.
And that's much better.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. I enjoy their banter, and I don't have to be involved.
Exactly. All right, so let's do a quick top 5 power rankings, top 5 in the NFL.
Yes.
According to the doctor.
Exactly. What do you got?
All right. Number 1, this is going to be a shock.
A shocker. Might
some heart attacks, you know, people from our listeners. I apologize in advance. Blame Ari. Clearly his fault. The Broncos are number 1.
What?
I know. I'm going out on a limb here.
Get out of here.
Going out on a limb. Might break.
I don't know. Those 50 points they score a week are, you know.
A little on the low side. Like, ideally, they should be scoring 70, you'd think. No.
Really? I
mean, points is barely 13 points a quarter, if you think about it that way. It doesn't sound too impressive.
No, it is not.
13 is a low number.
It really is.
I mean, per minute, they're not even scoring a point.
Nope.
Get it together, Broncos.
It's like 0.8 really, points per minute.
Yeah, really pathetic.
Terrible.
Really, really terrible. But yeah, they're clearly number 1.
Totally with you on that.
Yeah, this is no question. Number 2, this is where I will probably veer from some others and maybe the majority of others. I think the Saints, to me, are the second best team.
Really?
Lost yesterday aside. They've got Drew Brees on offense. You know how good he is. Their defense is really good. Look at the points they've allowed. They barely allowed 20 points at all this year. I think the Patriots might have been the one and only team to score 20 on them even. They've been unbelievable. They got somewhat, I won't say unlucky. You know what? I will say unlucky, because there was a play in that game where they were lining up for a 4th-and-1, and the Patriots jumped like 18 feet offsides. And the referees called a false start and made them punt. They would have been
in
field goal. That was such an obvious offside. Only the Patriots get that call. They get every call. I'm so sick of the stinking Patriots getting every stinking call.
Yep, at home too.
The Patriots are on the road. You know, they change rules for Brady because of his knees. I mean, they don't do that for any other quarterback or any other team. They get every call. Anyway, point is, they would have gotten at least a field goal, which would have put them up at least 7 with also less time on the clock for that last drive. They would have won that game had they not blown that call. Anyway, point is, so the Patriots got a little bit lucky to win that game. Either way, that was on the road. It was a great game by the Saints either way. Their defense is good. Their offense is phenomenal. I think, you know, 5-1, you're talking, if they get home field advantage, they'll be in the Super Bowl. Nobody's beating them in New Orleans in the playoffs.
Yeah, in the dome.
Now, if the Seahawks get home field, nobody's beating them at home either. But they're right now both have one loss, so you know, we'll see who gets home field. To me, those are the two better teams in the NFC. So it's right, one of that too.
I can roll with that.
Say number two. It's just so good. They have like a top five defense and with an unbelievable offense. The balance of their team, offense and defense, to me is the best in the NFL as far as good on both sides of the ball.
I would probably agree with you there. First, I was like, eh, but now that I'm thinking about it, I think I would probably put them there too, even with that loss. To the Patriots. That's the other team I would say is going to be in the representing the NFC right now.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Number three. This is definitely probably not even in most people's top fives. I'm going to put the Indianapolis Colts at number three.
Interesting.
Now, we're taping this on a Monday. They haven't played. They're playing tonight. So I have a little less information about them than some of the other teams. But if you look at their two best wins, they have two better wins than anybody else in football. They've beaten San Francisco and Seattle.
And they spanked San Francisco.
Yep. And nobody has two wins like that. And they've only lost once. And Andrew Luck could be, this year, the second best quarterback in football. He's that good. This guy could absolutely end up having a Peyton Manning-like career when all is said and done. He is awesome already. And I could see him doing all this stuff at the line. Like, maybe not quite like Peyton, because Peyton is some kind of crazy genius who remembers. You know, he's got a
photographic memory.
He is a savant. He's a football savant. And, you know, Luck is very smart. I don't know that he has a photographic memory. You know, like, stories of Peyton Manning, he knew the entire playbook in 3 days after he was drafted.
What?
Like,
what?
Like, seriously. He showed up to the first minicamp, knew the entire playbook.
Wow.
So, like, he's not quite, like, there, but. You know, anyway, so to me, Colts number three based on their two wins. I couldn't put the Seahawks above them. To round out the top five, I had the Seahawks and the, as much as I hate to do it, I almost put Kansas City here. But Kansas City, I don't respect. They haven't played anybody that great.
Nope.
Number five is the Patriots, I believe. So.
So wait, who's number? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What do you got?
Goes Saints, Colts, Seahawks, Patriots.
Okay. Yeah, I don't put the Chiefs in my top five.
No,
either.
They're number six because they're undefeated. But Patriots, they're going to get Gronk back. They, you know, and their defense is good this year too. So, you know, it really, let's be honest. You know, it's better to peak at the end than at the beginning. So, you know, the Patriots and the Broncos, odds are they're going to be meeting up at some. Maybe not. Maybe the Colts can work some magic in there. But those are to me the five best teams. Six and seven would be in some order. San Francisco. Well. Kansas and then San Francisco would probably be 6 and 7. But and
I would probably agree with that, except for I think I would flip-flop Seattle and Indianapolis. Even though they've lost to them, I think their defense has a higher upside than the Colts' defense.
I agree. I just think that Andrew Luck is better than Russell Wilson. See, I think Russell Wilson is not quite there yet, and he'll have games where he throws for 100 yards. And that's okay. He's a second-year quarterback. I just think people are giving him a little more credit now. You know, he's going to be there. I just don't think he's quite there yet. That's what, you know. He makes awesome plays. I just, again, don't quite put him in, like, a top-five quarterback type of situation
yet. What happened to Sidney Rice? Wasn't he supposed to be really good?
I don't know. Did he get hurt or something? Did he get hurt?
And maybe, maybe he's hurt.
Yeah, I thought he got hurt.
It really hurt them when they got Percy Harvin, and then he didn't even play. He got hurt before the season started.
Oh, maybe I was thinking Harvin got hurt.
Yeah, Percy Harvin is hurt. But they got Sidney Rice, too. And he hasn't done
anything. They both used to play for the Vikings, right?
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh. That's why I like their jerseys, too, the Seahawks. I love that lime green.
Really?
Yeah. You don't like it?
Dark?
It's sweet.
It's weird looking to me.
Screw you. How dare you? Who do you think you
are?
How dare you? Oh, those Jacksonville helmets. It's an affront. It's a travesty. Oh, that is the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well, as long as we agree on that.
Yes.
Yeah, the Texans. Are you just kind of surprised at how bad they are?
You know what? No, I never thought Shaw was a good quarterback.
Really?
He's obviously went off the tracks.
Rails. Yeah,
off
exactly.
The rails. Yeah, completely. I guess I'm a little surprised things fell. You know what? They were up 23 against Seattle, and then now look at them at the half against. Yep. I mean, yeah, it went awful quick. I'm surprised it went this fast, but I always thought they were a fraud. I never thought they were a 13-3 team either the last 2 years.
I never liked their coach, honestly.
Yeah, Kubiak. Yeah, he's one of those conservative Ron Rivera types that'll punt in every fourth and one, and you know it's just dumb. I'm not a fan of Houston. I never saw them as viable, and you saw what happened to them against New England last year in the playoffs. New England whooped them.
Yeah,
and you know that. That's their upside, getting smoked by one of the top two or three teams in the conference. Well, it doesn't matter what the record is. That's always going to happen to them. They're not beating Brady or Manning on the road in the playoffs, or at home in the playoffs, for that matter.
All right. Any other teams of note we want to speak on? The Browns have won a couple games, surprisingly.
Yeah. They were in the game yesterday, but faded. I can't remember who they were playing, but
I guess the Bengals are going to probably come out of the AFC North, huh?
Yeah, they're probably going to be the fourth seed. That's why I think Kansas City can beat them. They'll be the fourth division winner, the Bengals. So I could see the Bengals beating them also. You know, I'm not saying that they would be favored, but they'd probably be like – Cincy at home would be like a 1.5.
How do the Bengals lose to Cleveland, though, and score 6 points and then come out and beat New England the week after and hold them to 6 points? That's weird to me. I don't really know how to rank the Bengals yet. I want to say they'd be in my top 10 if we expanded our power rankings, but
yeah, maybe 12, something like that, 10 to 12 somewhere. That is where I kind of pegged them without looking at all the teams. Just like that's my gut feeling of them. Maybe they would be number 10. But
their schedule is pretty weak. They can win 11 games, maybe 12.
Yeah, I think you'll see them as the fourth seed. You know. Mm-hmm. And I guess that may be a slight favorite over Kansas City at home, like a 1.5 point favorite, not a full 3 points. On a neutral field, Kansas City would be favored, but Kansas City is a great defense.
They do have a great defense.
Not sold on Dalton.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
Yeah. None of which are Andy Reid draftees. Oh, Kansas City, enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
It'll last a little longer than you'd think at first because, again, he's not drafting players.
Exactly.
It would go downhill quick if he was.
Yep.
So he's got his second win. That's going to re-energize him at the new team. And, you know,
he'll
be okay for a couple of years. But his thought, he'll never be good at coaching on game day. Like, that is never going to happen.
No.
You know, he'll never be good at thinking on his feet.
All right, last NFL thing before we take this last break. Green Bay, are they going to eventually rebound and be one of the top teams when it comes to playoff time?
No. This is one of those years they're just not very good. You know what the problem with Green Bay, I believe, is? I think they have a terrible head coach. They have the Philly's disease. Oh, he won the Super Bowl. He has to be a good coach. You know, no, he doesn't, actually. You know, Charlie Manuel was a terrible.
Yes, he was.
A terrible manager. Now, did he have some strength? Yeah, sure. Okay, he could. He was the players liked him. Well, I don't even know what that is because I'm likable. Does that mean I'd be a good manager? You know, actually, I think I would be a good manager, but that's neither here nor there. Right. But he was absolutely brutal at strategy. He cost us at least 2 World Series, if not 3. I could go through every playoff series we lost from 2009 through 2011 and tell you exactly why Charlie Manuel put us in a worse spot to win those series than we would have been with a competent manager. And I fully believe I could give you a way we could have beat even the Yankees in 09, who were a better team. We still could have won that series had Manuel done a couple different things. And it was the same things every year that he did wrong that cost us. We could have had four World Series in a row, legitimately could have had that, and at least we could have had 3 and 4 years.
Yep.
If we had a good manager. But since he won, they couldn't fire him. And they waited until all this time. You see what happens when he doesn't have superior talent. He's terrible. He's a terrible manager. People confuse results with the process. The manager's job is the process. And he was awful at that. And the results were good, even though the process was bad. So, the process must have been good. No, that's not a one-to-one correlation. That is absolutely not. You might have just had better players. I mean, think about 08 really quick. What did we have? We had a lineup that didn't need to change once through the whole playoffs. We had an ace in Cole Hamels, and we had 3 lockdown relievers, Romero, Madsen, and Lynch. What decisions did he ever have to make? None. He never made one decision that whole playoff run. He just kept trotting the same players out over and over and over again, and the players won.
Matt Stairs.
All the other ones, okay, yeah. But that was Matt Stairs. Wasn't he 09?
No, Matt Stairs was the year we won.
Oh, wait. Okay, yeah. Fine. I'll give you Matt Stairs. He was good at picking pinch hitters and things.
That was
like,
the one thing.
He doesn't have no talents, but he was not good at strategy, which is his biggest part of his job description. So anyway, the Packers coach, I put in the exact same category. They're going to keep him wasting Aaron Rodgers' prime when he's like Andy Reid. He's like an Andy Reid Jr. He's fat. He's bad on his feet. He blows challenges and timeouts like there's no tomorrow. And I don't think he's a very good coach, but since he won the Super Bowl, they're going to keep wasting years with him. Yep. That's what I think is catching up to them big time this year.
Is that is it Mike Shanahan disease too?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that, but what I am sure of
Shanahan
is
Shanahan hasn't done anything since Denver, dude.
I know,
that was like 15 years ago.
I don't know that this guy would get that many chances.
Right. But Shanahan is still riding that.
Which is better than one.
But with John Elway and Terrell Davis.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, maybe. I don't, yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't think
he looked bad last night. Ugh.
Yeah. Oh, terrible. Griffin also, I think, maybe got hurt a little bit of how great he was in the offseason. Might have gone to his head a little bit. Now, I think he'll come back from this and be fine. I don't think this is like a career-ending type of thing. But right now, I think, and he started feuding with his coach and stuff. I think he got a little too big for his britches in the offseason. And you know what? Sometimes getting humbled is a good thing, and it makes you work harder and remember what got you there in the first place and not think that you've arrived. And I think he'll have a good year next year. But I think this – a little humble pie is actually just kind of what the doctor ordered for Robert Griffin.
Yep.
Humble thought pie. On Robert Griffin. That guy is not the best-looking guy.
No.
I was looking at him on commercials. It's like, oof. That guy's eyes point in different directions.
Yeah, no.
It's not a good look for a person.
He's got bad skin. Like,
I haven't noticed that, but I just noticed that he kind of has like an alien sort of look because his eyes, they like, he's got that one eye that's looking at you even though he's looking over the other way. It's like, it's creepy.
Yeah, dude. And he wears, like, I mean, obviously, you
not have. He's got a face for radio.
But he wears a hairstyle that black dudes haven't worn since the 90s.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Where his hair is braided is like really. Like,
oh yeah, it looks like the Williams sisters when they broke into the tennis.
Precisely, exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of it.
Dude, they gotta go. They gotta go. Anyway,
that dude,
enough of that. Let's take a break. Come back.
Got a face for radio. Face for podcast.
Exactly. He's definitely got a face for radio. Unlike us, we
should. Oh yeah, we should be on television. There's no
doubt
about it.
The next step up is us. Is for the show, the TV show. Yeah. So yeah, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some other.
Do what's making Murdoch mad?
Yes, we will do what's making Murdoch mad. Even though I think you guys know a couple things that are already making you mad.
Yeah.
But
I'm never mad. I never go on rants about anything.
All right, so you guys stick around. This is the Upon Official Review podcast.
Last word on Philly sports.
That's us. Don't go anywhere.
We hate money. Broke people stand up. If you lack cash, put a hand up. And all the people getting paid, throw all your money on stage. We hate money. Dollars, cash, cheese, unless you're gonna give some to me. We hate money. And everyone who has it, we would do things that you couldn't imagine. If I ever had money.
Welcome back. It's the Upon Official Review podcast. All up in your face. And it is time.
Your business.
Exactly. It's time for my favorite segment. Your favorite segment. Oh, it's been a while since I said this. Your mom's favorite segment.
Your mom.
It's time for What's Making Murdoch Mad, and it is a classic. Listen up.
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
So I am seriously mad about these Thursday night games. They are awful, okay? There, it is just turnovers and penalties and horrible football. And they're usually bad matchups because NBC gets the good games. ESPN gets the good, going into the season, what they think are the good matchups. CBS and Fox get to protect their. The NFL is not going to take the juiciest matchups away from the networks because they want the networks paying them as much money as possible.
Yep.
So it's always going to be some leftover Bills, except for the first game of the year, which is an NBC game. But the NFL Network Thursday games is what I'm talking about. They're horrible. They're offensive in all ways, shapes, and forms. Football players should not be asked to play two games in a span of 96 hours. It is outrageous, and it needs to be stopped. Now, I will give a hat tip to Bill Simmons on this because part of these theories, you know, he also says in his comms, if you're a Simmons reader, but what his suggestion is, and I think this is a perfect idea, is give a second bye week every year. Every team, you'd get 16 total Thursday night games, including the two Thanksgiving games. So every team would play one Thursday game, right? And if you want to make a 17th for the first week of the season and make, you know, two teams play twice, that's fine. Because, you know, the first Thursday game is not a tough game to play because you just had week four of the preseason off anyway. But anyway, other than the first week, there's 16 other games. You give them a bye before the Thursday night game. So every team has 10 days off before and after the Thursday game, which now, instead of these horrible turnover plague sloppy affairs, you get teams with extra rest that would be sharp. You'd get good games rather than horrible games. You know, every time you watch a Thursday night games, you just want the 3 hours of your life back. It's like, why did I sit through that? That was hideous. And not only would those games now be good games, but you'd get week 18. Who doesn't want a week 18? I want a week 18.
Yeah.
Who want a week 18? We all want a week 18. Why not? Another 7 hours of commercial-free red zone? Yes, please. Where do I sign for that? The networks would have to pay more because they, instead of be playing for 17 games, they'd be playing for 18. So the NFL would make more money. The players would be happier. They would be safer. They wouldn't have to be playing these awful Thursday night games, two games in 96 hours anymore. Everybody wins in this scenario. Everyone. Literally everyone. There is no loser here.
NFL makes more money. The players get more rest. You could even expand the rosters to 60.
Whatever you want to do, I'm fine with it. You know what? They actually did two bye weeks 1 year in the early to mid 90s, which nobody remembers, and I don't even remember that. But they actually did it once. I don't know why they decided to do it for 1 year. I don't know why they stopped doing it, but they did it one time, but they never went back to it. But they definitely should do this. They want 18 games. Make this is the perfect compromise to that. The owners want 18 games. Give us 18 weeks and two byes instead. That would rock. And the Thursday night games, instead of being horrible, would be awesome.
Yep. Sold.
Yeah. Or make the Thursday night games the late Sunday games like they were for that one Oakland-San Diego game. Put them on at 11:30 on Sundays. Mm-hmm. Either way, I'm okay with it.
I like it. I'd
rather have a week 18. Give me week 18. I want week 18!
So there you go. That's what's making Murdoch mad this week. So a couple more things just to run over, and then we'll give some shout-outs and bounce out of here. The Flyers
are terrible. Yes. Again. Shocker. Who saw it coming? Oh, this guy did.
Did you expect – I mean, yes. Was it warranted to fire the coach after three games?
Well, I mean, their players are bad, so you might as well fire the coach if you're the general manager, because anything to put the focus off of his terrible.
Yes, that's what I was just about to say. Can we agree that Holmgren has to go?
Absolutely. Now, Holmgren's not going to fire himself, so what can he do? He can fire the coach. So that's what he did.
Yep.
Did the coach need to go too? Sure, they all need to go. I mean, this team went right down the toilet since 2010. Part of that was Pronger's injury. Part of that was, I don't know, trading Mike Richards for no reason. Trading James Van Riemsdyk for a average defenseman. Let's not forget James Van Riemsdyk, second overall pick in the draft, who's now playing.
Yes.
Like,
did you just say that James Van Riemsdyk was the second pick in the draft? Is that right?
Second overall pick in the draft. That is correct. Wow. The year that Chicago got the short guy that had the game winner against us in 2000.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Kane.
Kane, yes.
First overall pick that year. It was like 09, 08. It was so bad. The worst team in the league. We got the second overall pick. Anyway, yeah. And the last team was healthy in the playoffs. He got like 12 goals in like two rounds or three rounds or whatever. He was awesome.
Yeah.
And then he banged up for a year. And they're like, oh, well, he regressed. He's terrible.
He's a local kid, too. He's from Jersey.
I mean, it's like, duh, he was hurt. He's like 21. Like, you say he's never be good again? There's no chance of that? So let's trade him for an average defenseman? I'm sorry, that was so stupid. Ugh.
Yeah.
Must I mention trading Richards and Carter? You know, I don't care so much about the trading of Carter, although, you know, 35, 40 goal scorers don't really grow on trees, boys. Yeah. And we can't score now. I mean, Richards, that was a terrible deal. They were all terrible deals. Holmgren has been not as bad, but almost as bad as Ruben Amaro Jr., and that's not really something company you want to keep as a general manager, because Ruben Amaro Jr. is far and away the worst general manager in sports In maybe the history of modern sports, oh yes, he is so bad. He look at what the I mean. He ruined the Phillies. I mean, Ryan Howard's contract.
That's a lot of bad franchises.
The worst contract signed in baseball history. No, I mean, 2 years before he was a free agent to give a guy with a body type. Those kind of sluggers do not age well. You look at every one of the fat first basemen; they don't age well. 2 years before free agency to give him $25 million a year for 5 years, hideous. What he effectively gave him was a 7-year, $170 million contract. He already had 2 years left on his other deal.
Right.
That was terrible, and there was no need to do it. You know, if you're going to give a guy a contract 2 years before he's a free agent, you get a discount. Otherwise, they're because they're not. There's no risk of them
bidding
the next 2 years, and there's no one bidding. And he paid full top dollar value, assuming he was never going to have any dip in his skills in the next 2 years or get injured. He didn't get any kind of a discount. It was the worst deal ever because of the 2 years before free agency thing. Had he signed him, if that was his free agent year, you know, I'd have a totally different thought.
Who else do you throw into this? I'm curious. Who else is in this? Fat first baseman,
like the Cecil Fielder,
right.
I can't think of any more off the top of my head, but those types of guys, once they hit like 32, 33, they stop hitting. The slugging first baseman who can't play defense, overweight, those types of guys.
Right,
they
right,
don't
right.
age well. None of them ever have. They hit 40 or 50 for a while and then they fall off a cliff. It happens every time. That's why. Everybody like pretty much said, wow, that is a really terrible deal the day it was signed. And it was. I mean, the guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, it's true. But I bet Ruben Amaro gets free Subway sandwiches.
Yeah. Ruben Amaro is the worst general
manager. He's fresh.
In modern sports. He's
fresh. Call the Subway Fresh Take Hotline right
also
now.
Runs it like fantasy team. That's. I mean, he's like a fan being a general manager. It's terrible.
Yeah, it really is.
Those contracts, Jimmy Rollins' contract, bad contract. I'm sorry. Galvis could give us the same offense as Rollins with better defense for $500,000 a year. Rollins is making $12 million. You could replace him with better. Galvis would be better than Rollins.
Yep.
For $500K, he's making $12 million a year. They could have gotten, you know, oh, I don't know, Carlos Beltran, the greatest postseason hitter in the history of the playoffs. Actually true, has the highest slugging percentage in baseball history in the playoffs for less money than they gave Rollins and less years and gone with Galvis and had him in the outfield. Do you think we would have been better than with Rollins and Mayberry?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, he just butchered everything. Everything.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. So. It's true. I have to think about all the worst. There's got to be other worst general managers. There have to be.
No.
But he's really
not than Ruben Amaro. No way. Really not to take a World Series winning team 2 years in a row in the World Series and double the payroll and get like a team that has 25% of the talent. That is hard to do in 3 years.
That's true. You know what? Because
he's got five times the payroll of Tampa Bay and Oakland. Five times. And he has no one of value. You could not trade one player on the Phillies for his contract, except for maybe Cliff Lee, maybe. But you might have to give him away for nothing because he gets so much money. You could not give Ryan Howard away for free. You could not. You could not give Jimmy Rollins away for free because no one would even pay their salaries if they didn't have to trade any players. They would not do that. That is the definition of a terrible general manager. None of his players have any value at all. They have negative value. You'd have to trade players with them just to get them to eat the money.
That's probably true. Probably true. So this comes up every couple of years. You think about which one of your teams in Philadelphia has the most chance of being in a championship game in the next
– The soonest?
Yeah, the soonest. Next couple of years.
Well,
I really like what the Sixers are doing.
Not the Phillies. Yeah, not the Flyers. Not the. Believe it or not, it's the Eagles and or the Sixers.
And or the Sixers, yeah.
Because I'll tell you why. And unlike the Flyers and Phillies, they are being run intelligently. They have intelligent people running the organization. Now, the jury's out on Howie Roseman.
Yes, the jury is out on him.
But if truly Andy Reid was the ones. Andy Reid had final to say, so I think Andy Reid was at blame for the terrible drafts.
I agree.
They gave him more power for two drafts ago, and that was a pretty good draft. Although, again, quick tangent. You know, Andy Reid had a chance to trade for Colin Kaepernick for a second-round pick for Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah,
said, well, what I'll do instead of that, I'll draft Russell Wilson and make him the centerpiece of the draft. So if you're, you know, if you're going to reach for safeties, fifth round safeties in the second round, and you're, oh, we're not going to do that anymore, but you would reach for a quarterback, right? So if you have 2 second round picks and you're going to, and there's a quarterback out there who's the centerpiece of your draft, wouldn't you use him with one of those second round picks?
I think so.
Yeah, you would, actually. And instead we got Vinny effing Curry when we could have had Russell Wilson. Vinny Curry, Russell Wilson. Who would you rather have, Andy Reid? I'll wait and make sure, you know, the centerpiece, let's just pray and hope he's still there in the third round. What a jackass. What a jackass. If this is the centerpiece for draft and you have 2 second round picks, stinking pick the quarterback. Oh, you fat, greedy ass. God. Oh, we'll wait and get Vinny Curry now and pick the centerpiece in the third round. Oh, somebody picked him. Darn. Well, I guess I'm a fat, greedy ass then. Yes, you are, Andy. Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Anyway, what was I talking about? The draft. Oh, Howie Roseman, yeah, maybe, you know, so the Sixers, they're farther away than the Eagles. So, but I'm more confident about the Sixers definitely being run intelligently at all levels than I am of the Eagles. So I'm not totally sure on Roseman. So that's like a coin toss there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's the Sixers and or Eagles 50-50 who would have the better chance.
We're moving, at least they're moving somewhere though. They're moving upwards.
They're being run intelligently, and that's what you need to win a, you know, win a championship.
The Sixers are their GM from Houston, who really did something there.
Him.
He also knows that you got to bottom out in the NBA. It's just the way you got to do it.
Smart.
Yeah. Smart. And there's like at least from what, you know,
you might have
the
two
brains.
In this best draft ever.
Exactly. Oh. I'm saying there could be 5 all-stars at the top of this draft and maybe two or three franchise players.
Yep.
So
you could get 2 of those guys. Yes, please.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
That was an awesome trade to New Orleans.
And
that
the Sixers are underneath the luxury floor, like, or the salary floor.
So. What happens when you're underneath the floor? The money that you're underneath, you have to divide it amongst however many players you have.
That's right, you do. You have to give it to the players.
So it's possible that Jason Richardson could be even more overpaid.
It's true. Why not play at all?
Yeah.
That's great.
And actually make extra money beyond what he's being overpaid right now.
But at least we're not paying Andrew Bynum, who probably will never play again.
Oh, I hope so. I hope not.
Yeah.
I can't wait till he's out of the league, lazy piece of garbage.
Me too.
He is a donkey.
Yep. And the thing about it, too, is he has no heart and no passion.
No,
and
lazy piece of crap.
Yeah.
He went bowling when his knees couldn't let him play basketball. Oh, I didn't know that. You idiot. You didn't care is what you should have said. At least be honest. Uh-huh. I don't give a rat's ass about anything about the city of Philadelphia or the team. I'm here to collect my $16 million, and I'm not going to play a 1 second for you guys.
Yep.
And I will bow on my free time and injure my other knee, though.
And I'll check my hair every couple weeks. So you guys can look at that.
Yeah, that guy is a waste of life.
So well, that's going to wrap up the show, I think.
Yep.
Except for some shout outs. Oh, and I have an announcement.
Congrats.
That I've been waiting to drop on everybody, which is cool that it coincides with us kind of coming back to the podcast airwaves anyway. The official review podcast is going to be joining a network of podcasters. And it's not even all going to be all sports. So if you know people that are into other things, entertainment, pop culture, geek.
No, you don't know any other people that are into anything other than sports. But we'll pretend like there's a possibility.
So we're going to join this network, and it's going to be pretty much a full-fledged entertainment experience. Let me give a couple shout-outs. And we'll bounce.
It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you.
First, I want to shout out the sort of the founders of and sort of the starting members of the new network. That's my boy Jeff at Voice of the Fan. My boy Alex at Guilty Watts on Twitter. Absolutely follow them. See what's going on with them. And just fun accounts to follow, period. And a couple of recent people that have been following us. Matt, who does a lot of stuff, writes a lot of stuff for the Flyers. Follow him at the Orange N, the letter N, Black. Mike at MD Schaeff. It's S-C-H-A-E-F-F. And also follow one of my favorite followers, Karma San Diego. It's K-A-R-M-A-H-S-A-N, well, San Diego. You got it. So that's it.
Oh, San Diego, we exactly. don't want you as a listener anymore.
Exactly. Exactly.
Go away.
All right, sir. I will be talking to you next week. Ideally.
Peace.
And yeah, go Eagles, and we will talk.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yep. Y'all be easy. Peace.
Bacon pancakes, making bacon pancakes. Take some bacon and I'll put it in a pancake. Bacon pancakes, that's what it's gonna make. Bacon pancake. Bacon pancakes, making bacon pancakes. Take some bacon and I'll put it in a pancake. Bacon pancakes, that's what it's gonna make. Bacon pancake. Bacon pancakes, making bacon pancakes. Take some bacon and I'll put it in a pancake. Bacon pancakes, that's what it's gonna make. Bacon pancake. Bacon pancakes, making bacon pancakes. Take some bacon and I'll put it in a pancake. Bacon pancakes, that's what it's gonna make. Bacon pancake.